when you think about stock selection. It's not so much always just picking the right stock. It's when do you sell it?
Good morning. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Mint Money, back here in the podcast studio with Kevin. Kevin?
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here yet and bring another great episode today. Today's conversation all about stock selection, fund accounts within investing, and so much more. So, Kevin, did you have a good weekend?
Terrific. Soccer filled, of course.
I can see a little bit of sun on the face.
Yeah. Well, that was from last week, actually. I was in Florida with my older son at the IMG Academy in Bradenton. Mm-hmm. So it was a really fun time, great competition. So yeah, if you know me, you know that soccer is a big part of
soccer is definitely a big part. I can imagine of your whole family. Do your other two kids also play soccer by chance?
They do. So in fact, Sam had a game this weekend as well. And Gigi plays for the rec league here in Midland. So mm-hmm. Yep.
That'll sound pretty exciting.
Yep.
Very exciting.
How about yourself? Are the kids doing anything yet?
So Ellie is doing music class with also Hudson. They are both loving that as much as they possibly can. Mm-hmm. It's at a place called Upbeat Academy over in Midland. So they play drums. They learn all about different things with music and other things like that. A lot more than I ever learned. I think I have maybe 6 weeks on a violin in elementary school.
Yeah.
I couldn't play it, but you know, it's pretty interesting.
I was a recorder guy only. Like, I don't think I did anything other than the recorder. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe a harmonica, mm-hmm. like really badly.
I mean, I can appreciate music. Yeah. I can appreciate when people have a lot of talent, but could I play an instrument? Absolutely not.
Speaking of music, pretty soon we have the concert series starting.
Oh, sure. Midland. Oh, yeah. I think last year we had a Kiss band.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yep. Some great stuff. Mm-hmm. We've had like Bon Jovi, Poison, great bands. I mean, we get fantastic turnouts downtown. So, hoping for another successful season.
Yep. I think it's important to say, too, these are cover bands.
Oh, yeah. We didn't get actual. John Bon Jovi was not cruising the streets of downtown Midland.
You know, maybe one day soon. Maybe he's a loyal fan out there. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, but, never know. Maybe we could convince, Madonna's hometown is Bay City.
Bay City.
Maybe
we could convince her
to come back and do like some, like a prayer or mm-hmm. something.
Yeah, maybe do a live in-person recording too.
Right.
Maybe one hopeful day in the future. But while I think Madonna's career has been very exciting, I think you can really relate all these different music stars really mm-hmm. back to stocks as well, because I'm sure people can imagine there's a lot of artists out there, whether it's someone from your high school, someone from your hometown, your region like Madonna, or maybe someone from a more of a national stage, maybe like Bon Jovi. But as you can imagine, those people, artists and their trajectory, it's a lot of it's out of their own control, but not only that, but it can really wildly vary. And so thinking about, you know, between artists and stocks, the same thing can be said with stocks, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of one-hit wonders, mm-hmm. right? Like artists that come out, like A-ha comes to mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can
that
song. Okay, mm-hmm. well, Take On Me. Mm-hmm. Everybody should know the song. It's a terrific song from the 80s. But yeah, I mean, Shot to the Moon. And then mm-hmm. really, I'm not sure that anyone ever heard from them again. Of course, that song is still very popular. A lot of people mm-hmm. hear it, but similar to some stocks, right, that mm-hmm. go to the moon, folks jump on board, mm-hmm. and sometimes they continue traveling, and other times they come right back to Earth.
I think that's a perfect analogy to go say that, too. And so pulling the statistic here, you know, stock selection, while it can be very exciting, can also be very detrimental to your own portfolio as well. I think a cool statistic that I saw, now a little bit of a nerd within investing, but if you were to go guess, Kevin, what percentage of stocks have actually outperformed the returns of just a treasury bill over time? And so just as a good background for the audience for a treasury bill. And so a treasury bill is a very short-term, very safe-like investment that you make with the U.S. government that you go purchase. And so think about very short, very safe in nature. And so your mind would think, okay, there's a lot of stocks out there. Stocks should hopefully outperform bonds and other safe-like investments over time. And so do you think that might be 10% or 20%?
What is the average on a T-bill? Do you know what the long-term average
is? Average, I should have looked this up prior to the interview, but maybe 3 or 4% long-term.
Wow. Well, I'd have to think it. And you gave me a sort of a sweetener there of, what, 10 or 20% of stocks? It seems like it would be more, I would hope. But I guess you giving me that sort of teaser, I guess I'll go with 15.
So it's 2.3%.
Oh, my God. Wow.
2.3% of stocks over time will really help outperform, or will outperform a T-bill over time. And so it really goes back to, I mean, people will hear all these high dazzling stocks over time, but I mean, you can go look back to 2021. There are a lot of high flying stocks around that time. So think of Peloton, and these are still very good companies, but unfortunately, there's a lot of other things that are also in play with these companies, right? I mean, you have their performance, you have the overall industry as well.
Sure.
And there's a lot of things that they can't control. Like some of these companies have lost 80, 90% of their value. I mean,
yeah.
You could have made a lot of money on the ride up, but what does that bode well for the company long term? And so it's very rare for a company to have that sort of outperformance over time.
Yeah.
And that's one of the dangers for a person's portfolio. I mean, it's one thing to have a stock within your portfolio, you know, maybe it's worth a percent or two, but
sure.
To have such an outward, like a large percentage of your overall portfolio, I mean, that can be really detrimental.
Oh yeah. And the thing too, like you talk about stocks that may perform really well for a time and then not mm-hmm. so well, is that's one of the toughest things when you think about stock selection. It's not so much always just picking the right stock. It's when do you sell it, right? At which point do you feel like, you know what? I've had a good run here. I've made some money and I'm going to get out. And I can mm-hmm. tell you there's times that I definitely wish I wouldn't have gotten out.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's so tough to stay through that volatility. I mean, mm-hmm. everyone in the right world can say Amazon's been an amazing company over sure. time. Jeff Bezos built that company up to be an amazing juggernaut that it yeah. is. But I think at one point it lost almost 80 or 90% of its value.
Yeah.
And so one person could say, you know, I wish I would have held that stock from the IPO. Well, you know, it would have been pretty tough to go sure. do that, right?
Facebook was another one. And that, mm-hmm. that's one that really comes to my mind because at the IPO,
mm-hmm.
I bought that shortly after the IPO.
Mm-hmm. I hope you didn't sell.
It went down. It went like half. I think it IPO'd somewhere in the 30s, like mid 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I recall maybe paying, I don't know, $35 for it, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It went down to somewhere in the teens, maybe the mid to high teens.
Mm-hmm.
I bought more, so I doubled down.
That's
and that's
good.
Part of this conversation, right, is when you like a company, when you believe in it, if it starts heading in the wrong direction, sure, you're naturally going to feel a little bit of anxiety about that. But if you really liked it to begin with, then go after it again. Double down on it, right? Because that's when you're going to really make some good return. Mm-hmm. So I did double down. I held on to it for some time, but I probably got rid of it after, I don't know, maybe around the 50s or something, thinking, okay, mm-hmm. well, I'm good. I've made some money. I'm going to get out of here now. Mm-hmm. That's one I wish I'd have held on to much longer.
But. Sure. No, I can completely see that too. And it's tough to go hold on to things naturally over time like that too, because to see a company, you know, short term, let's just go say a company reports bad earnings and the stock may go down by 10 or 15%. Did that company really lose 10 to 15% of its value overnight?
Right.
Probably not, but it's tough to go hold on to that type of thing,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So for yourself, I mean, part of the conversation today is obviously about stock selection, but then also having a fun account within investing.
Oh, yeah.
So do you have a fun side account, or how do you like to try and still satisfy that itch
yeah.
that is stock selection?
So I do have a fun account. It's not any amount of significant money.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, I kind of share that account with my son because it was a great way to teach him about investing. So me and my oldest son, Nico, we put some money into an account and I let him basically make the decisions as to what stocks he wanted to purchase. They're all names we would know. And there were names that he liked, right? Like Nike, Snapchat was maybe not such a good one, but it was just a great opportunity for me to sort of teach him about investing and the importance of holding on long-term. Particularly, we started this account just before COVID. And so he was like, I want to get out. And I'm saying, hey, Nico, just everything's going to be fine. Let's hold. Mm-hmm. And we did. And it was also a place, I know another topic we were going to talk about is alternatives.
Oh,
and
sure.
it's a fun place to also invest in some alternatives too, like cryptos,
mm-hmm.
Things of that nature.
Sure, yeah. But all in moderation too, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's just with anything else in life, right? I mean, because I could eat chocolate all day. I
sure.
love some Hershey chocolates from Twix, but over time, you'll get some cavities.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that won't be too good. Yeah, so for myself, I take the same kind of approach. And so I have what brought me to finance and investing, I think with a lot of other people, is, you know, the interest in stocks and
sure.
how they can go up over time, obviously. And so for myself, I always had that itch. I tried doing the individual stock selection. That did moderately okay, but I felt like for me, I was bringing a lot of stress on my life too. I'd be
sure.
looking at the company's earnings. Is this company still doing well?
Yeah.
And over time, I eliminated all my holdings. And so now I just have one holding.
Okay.
Now it's just Costco. Love the business model. Love shopping there. Love the chocolate chip cookies.
Sure.
Love that company to death. And
the hot dogs.
Yeah, yeah. $1.50 hot dog and soda. It's a combo. Yeah.
Right. I used to indulge. I try not to any longer. But
you know, I saw something viral. I think some guy ate those hot dogs every day for a week, actually.
Really? Probably wasn't feeling great at the end.
No, no, probably not feeling too good. But I mean, if you're trying to do a challenge, at least you're saving money during that whole week, or at least you hope so.
Yeah. So question for you though. Mm-hmm. Where do you go when you're going to research, like if you're going to buy, like it sounds like you don't do much individual stock purchase, make sure. many individual stock purchases, but if you're going to, where do you go to do your research? How do you make a decision on what you're going to buy?
Sure. So first off, I like to go see things that I'm interacting with because I probably have a pretty good idea. Okay. If I'm going to, let's go say for Costco, Costco's right down the road from me. And so I'm able to go see, you know, is this place relatively busy? You know, if it's busy, that must mean in some form or fashion, it must be decently successful. And once I have a decent, you know, understanding of the business, you know, where it could possibly make money, okay, let's start to do some research. And so I'll go online, go to CNBC, the Wall Street Journal, really try to ascertain, you know, how the company's doing in the short term. Are there some news developments that could be pivoting towards a long term? And so a big thing for Costco last couple of years is a lot of people don't know they make a lot of the money off the membership. And you're a member there, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's how they're able to go make a lot of the money because they pretty much offer their goods pretty much at cost. And they make a lot of their money from the revenue of their stores. And so from there, being able to go know those things, I think a final next step is actually going to the company's website and then looking at their investor relations page.
Sure.
And so that page is completely dedicated to investors like me and you.
Yep.
They're just trying to go share company updates. Trying to go share, okay, this is how we envision our future to, you know, to the best of their ability to be and how things go look long-term for the company. And I know that could be a little bit more of a stretch. You can always go to other online resources. And so I know, for lack of better words, there's some interesting place on Reddit that people can find information.
Yeah. Wall Street Bets.
Yeah, Wall Street Bets, Seeking Alpha. But with anything else, once you start to go online to these message boards, you really do need to do your research and always think in the back of your mind too, this is from, you know, the other person on the other side could be a completely smart individual.
Sure.
They could have all the research knowledge in the world, but do your own due diligence and you are talking to another stranger at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, right.
So I would look at this as, you know, they just offer different pieces and different opinions for things you can go look within.
Yeah. I think to your, like the thing I take away and the thing I think that an average investor could take away is buy what you know and buy what you use and what you like, right? Mm-hmm. So like if I think back on a stock that I should have bought very early on, it was Lululemon, right? Like my wife was, you know, purchasing, you know, all these goods from Lululemon. At the time, I'm like, what is this Lululemon? I've never heard of it. And sure enough, right, that stock went to the moon, is still performing well.
Oh, sure,
well.
Yeah.
You're seeing those stores pop up all over the place. And this might have been more than 10 years ago when they initially started. But, yeah, I mean, if you see something trending in a particular direction, right, you see teenagers, I don't know, heading in a certain direction, buying from a certain store, it's probably, at least short term, might be a good opportunity there. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, you can really go see the trend really reverse. I remember back to 2016, 2017, I know the overall company name is, I think, Champion, I want to say.
Okay.
And for a long time, people still liked Champion, but maybe it wasn't as mainstream. But then they became mainstream again.
Right. Yeah. Oh, actually, absolutely.
Probably could have asked Nico about it. One of your kids. Hey, is this popular again?
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. That was a very, like growing up, that was a line that you'd find just about anywhere. And then suddenly it seems like more recently it became a little bit more luxurious. I don't know what the right word is for it, but
You know, I was doing some spring cleaning around the house and I was thinking about throwing out some old clothes, but I might want to keep those now.
Oh, yeah.
they might come into fashion 15 or 20 years down the road again.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. Like I've gotten rid of clothing and 10 years later been like, man, I wish I still had that. Like something I wish I had. Mm-hmm. And again, this is our difference in age, but a Coca-Cola rugby shirt. Are you familiar?
Not at all.
Oh, yeah.
Not at all, no. Okay.
So there was a time, I don't know, maybe in middle school for me, right? So sometime in the 80s when Coca-Cola was it. Coca-Cola and Varney. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever heard of Varney.
No, I'm sorry.
So, yeah. Varney t-shirts, loud colors, bright, bold, neon colors. And yeah, Coca-Cola rugby shirts, super popular back in the day.
Was there like an ad campaign or something like that? Like was Michael Jordan repping one of them?
That's a great, I don't recall that. No, I think it was more, it's kind of like I said earlier where take a look and pay attention to what teens are buying, right? Because it really can, as simple as it sounds, it really can be an opportunity there. Mm-hmm. And in that case, it was. Now, I'm assuming Coca-Cola made all that merchandise and did quite well with it. It'd be interesting to do some research on
that. I wonder if that coincides with, now this is before my time, but when they went to Coke 2 or New Coke?
Yeah, yeah.
Could have been around there. About last maybe? Time. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It very well could have, now that you say that. It didn't, I didn't initially think of that, but yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd love to go taste New Coke.
Yeah,
I know people, they have their, they have their ifs and ands about that. But
yeah, I just recall it being very sweet and without that sort of crisp.
Sure, I could see
kick
that.
Original Coke has.
They come and go all the time. And I guess, maybe that time will come. Yeah. I think back in college, I saw that Surge. From the 90s, Surge came back for a good 4 or 5 years. Tried looking for it at Meijer. Can't find it.
Yeah.
Can't find anywhere.
No. I don't know. I think we should hit up Coke for a sponsorship because this is two episodes now that we've been talking about
it. Two episodes we're talking about it.
Yeah. So if you're out there, Coke, we're open. Yeah. Just give us
a shot. We
can
have some cans of Coke. Doesn't matter what time of day it is.
Yeah, right.
There's enough products out there.
Yeah.
So I think that covers Kevin's stock selection and then also the fun account. But I think one other side of the conversation we also want to go talk about, and with every episode, I think we should talk about one different piece that we at least see within our lives being within wealth management. Is all about annuities, right?
Okay. Yeah, so annuities, definitely a big conversation piece, right? We hear about them quite commonly. For full disclosure, through TriStar Trust Bank, we don't sell products, right? We only provide investment advice, financial planning, and do not sell products such as annuities. But we do have Mid-Michigan Mutual, which is our brokerage division at TriStar. They do sell products, and I do still hold my licenses, and I actually supervise that department for us. So I do keep a little bit up to date on them, but definitely not a big part of our business at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think for why a lot of people hear about annuities is that people are pitched annuities, right?
Yes.
And so unfortunately, one of the common things with investing is you have to take some volatility within the mix, right? People certainly like the ride up, but occasionally, there might be a correction. There might be some volatility.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the things that annuities can help solve with, but not all, first off, just like with cars, not all annuities are built the same.
Right. Yeah.
Some cost a lot.
Yep.
Some can be inherently bad too.
Yeah. There are many different types. So you have the simplest form would be like a fixed annuity, which think of like a CD, if you would. It might be 3, 5, 7 years long. You get a fixed rate of return. They're very simple, very safe, right? Very easy to understand. Then you have a variable annuity within which they're investing, right? So in different degrees of risk of investing. So, and again, you're going to have some contracts, and that's typically where you're going to find some higher expenses, probably somewhere all in between 3 to 5% in total.
Wow.
Which is really high.
I had no idea.
Yeah. When you start to take in all of the different M&E expenses or maintenance expenses, and you start to look at if there are riders attached to that annuity. Particular riders that you hear a lot about are like income riders, where there's a guaranteed income for life. That might cost 75 basis points. And then you have the internal investments, right? The expense ratios. So they can get quite expensive. Then beyond that, we have sort of a, I wouldn't say newer, but a relatively new is indexed annuities, where you have sort of a cap on the upside and a capture on the downside.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, if the market's down 15%, they eat the first 10. Mm-hmm. So you only have a 5% loss. However, they cap you on the upside to maybe, let's say, 10% gain.
Mm-hmm.
So if the market's up 20, they're going to keep that additional 10. So I think in the end, though, the one word that you can utilize with an annuity that you can't really with any other investment is guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing that folks like when they hear about an annuity is guarantee. Typically, it's a guarantee of a future income source. You commented on it earlier, and I completely agree. Mm-hmm. They're sold much more often than they're bought. So there's not many people going to market saying, hey, I'm looking for an annuity. Who's got the best one?
Mm-hmm.
But there are, I think, the last time I saw, I think annuities make up about 25% of the
25%?
Overall sales. I think it's around that number. Yeah.
Well, yours is 20%. That's a that's a lot larger than what I would imagine.
Yeah, and it should probably be half to maybe less than that.
Oh, even. Sure. Because I could imagine for people, you know, if you can find the right annuity product that has lower expenses, you know, it makes sense for some people.
Right.
But while it's good to go have that rate of return of that guarantee, think about a market like 2023, right? So let's go put ourselves at the end of 2022. Market finished down 20-25%.
Yep.
You're probably not feeling too good about your investments. Let's start to go look within some, you know, safer options, opportunities, right?
Yep.
Which is completely fine, completely realistic. But go look at what the market we had in 2023, right?
Sure.
It ripped right back up. And so if you locked yourself in a guarantee like that, maybe with some buffers like that, you're losing out on that participation on the upside. But
sure.
I think volatility is just one of the, it's unfortunately one of the things that people have to go take on with investing.
Yeah.
But that's why there's other products out there, right? I mean, not everyone has to be in stocks. There's ETFs, there's mutual funds.
Yeah.
Go throw some bonds in there too, can really help lower that volatility.
Yeah. I say it quite frequently that much more than money managers, we can be emotional managers,
mm-hmm.
right? So the stock market can be a very emotional experience. You're feeling really good when you're doing well,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of fear on the way down. And that is something that I guess annuities can help with. But at the end of the day, if I'm really speaking to anyone, you know, the best opportunity is to diversify, find a money manager, particularly a fiduciary money manager that can really help put together the right asset allocation for you, and then to hold on to that allocation long term. Visit with your advisor on a semi-annual, annual basis. Make sure that you're still on track. And don't make emotional decisions.
Mm-hmm. No, I think those are all really good, relevant points, Kevin. And one thing I did want to go circle back to before we exit today's conversation is about, you know, the stock selection. And so if you think about, people can still invest within equities, within stocks, but you got to go think about that volatility trade-off that you're thinking about, right? And so when I was talking about those Magnificent Seven stocks, and so they accounted for almost 75% of the returns in the S&P 500 last year, right?
Yeah.
But if you think about the volatility going from just 2022, 2023, on average, they were down 55% in 2022.
Yeah.
And so people can like things on the way up, but on the, you know, on the flip side, volatility,
right.
that can be pretty hard to go plan for someone's goals, right? I mean,
yeah.
imagine, I would hate for this to be anyone's case, but imagine you bought a Magnificent Seven, whether it's just seven stocks or the ETF, and you're trying to plan for someone's college.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to go start taking money out at 55%, you know,
yeah.
your account being 50% on the way down.
Yeah, and I like that you commented on that. And I guess for me, my response would be that for anybody that, if you have a need for money within, let's say it's under 24 months, I'd really caution you against purchasing stocks for that need, right? I would look at something much more short term. You talked about T-bills, there's different bonds, CDs, just money market savings. For instance, you know, we're paying 5.25% on money market right now, which is just a liquid account you can withdraw from any time, guaranteed return. But you never want to put yourself in a position where you have to withdraw money while the market's down, particularly if the market's down significantly.
Oh, I mean, it's just a double sting too. And then imagine you have to pay capital gains taxes on that too. It's
right.
just not a fun time all the way around.
Nope. I don't like having those conversations. So you do your best for by planning for those things. So when folks ask me, hey, you know, I've got some extra money, what do you think I should do? The first question I ask is, well, how much time do you have?
Mm-hmm.
I think much more than any other question, time is the most important thing when we consider investing. And if you have a short time to invest, probably best to stay on the sideline, right? Keep your money in cash. But if you've got a good amount of time, you've got 3 years or more, and you've got a good advisor with a long-term mindset, then I think you can do well.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree enough with that. And before we tail off, audience, I want to go thank, there is one person who reached out to me last week, loved all the pop culture references that we had in the first episode. And so they actually looked out towards for us for recommendations. And so I think, Kevin, for this episode, we can pilot some movie and TV show recommendations for things that we've been watching. And then if you guys want to see us talk about more about that, maybe more about some of my breakfast takes that I have right now. I'm currently in a yogurt phase.
Okay.
Hopefully for the better. I did get some interesting flack for the cereal piece. But besides the point, if you want to hear anything more, anything less, feel free just to reach out to us. More than happy to go talk about other topics. And so, Kevin, movies, TVs during this past week. You see anything interesting?
Oh, boy. What have I seen? I'll tell you what I'm dying to see more than anything. It's kind of all I can think about is Dune 2.
Really?
Right? I'm okay. a huge yeah. fan of mm-hmm. the Dune series. The first Dune movie that came out was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
What Timothée Chalamet and that whole group
great
of folks,
actor.
Right?
Yeah.
And so really trying to get Jody to go see Dune 2 with me right now. Thus far, I've been unsuccessful.
I think that's
but
an
IMAX, I think
IMAX
I'll wear
too.
Her down. Yeah, I'll wear her down over
Is she
time.
Not a fan?
No, I don't think she's a fan of okay. like sci-fi in general, mm-hmm. right? But really want to see that movie badly. How about yourself?
So not necessarily a movie or a TV recommendation, but I saw a movie trailer. And so okay. I'm a big fan of any Western-like film. And so Kevin Costner,
okay,
one of the best people. He's up there, in my opinion, with John Wayne for Western stars.
Sure.
He just came out with, so it's going to be a two-part movie called Horizon. And so it's about an American saga. And so I could be butchering part of this, but I think it's going to take place around the Civil War. And so part one, I think, will be before the Civil War, and part two will be out of the Civil War, I think after the Civil War.
Yeah.
And it just looks, the 2-minute trailer looked phenomenal. Yeah. He does an amazing job, and he took a big bet on himself. Like if I remember the news article right, I think I mortgaged his house.
Yeah.
His beach house.
Really? Kevin Costner had to take out a mortgage.
Yeah.
Wow,
I mean, just to go place
a
bet on himself.
Yeah.
Now, that's, I think, if I read the right news article.
Well, I know he did just go through a pretty bad divorce.
Unfortunately.
Lost quite a bit of money, I think, likely in that case. Mm-hmm. No, listen, a good Western, tough to beat, right?
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite movies of all time, Unforgiven. Clint Eastwood. When you think of Western,
he's up there too.
Talk about Clint Eastwood.
He's top three.
Unforgiven. Fantastic. Such a great movie. I love that movie. Yeah.
No, that was really good. I'm just a big fan. I think for myself, I like Westerns, and then I also like anything dealing with space.
Okay.
I think it's kind of like that Final Frontier kind of mindset.
Sure. Yeah.
I know Dune gets a little bit outside of that, but I can still appreciate Dune.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Well, thank you everyone for listening to another great episode of Mint Money. Please don't forget to follow our podcast so you don't miss when new episodes drop. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.